Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, when I started thinking about preaching here a couple of weeks ago, I knew immediately what I would preach on. That's rare, isn't it? You know, when you're here, you know week by week exactly where you want to go to your people. But when you go somewhere, you're searching, aren't you, for a message? And for what it's worth, I hope that's of the Lord. And I knew, and never veered from that, never felt led to go anywhere else. Verse 16, 1 John 4, says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." And the title of the text, or the title of the message, is a question. Does God love me? Does God love me? Can I know that God loves me? This is what he said here, didn't he? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I want to know. I want to know. My name is not written in this book anywhere. Neither is yours. No one's name is there. But we can know. And I'm going to try to answer that in a moment, a few minutes. It's a strange question to the world, isn't it? Does God love me? The religious world just takes it for granted. The preachers, false preachers, have told everyone for so long now that God loves everyone that they believe it. And they take it for granted and they just assume. They just assume. They would say, "What do you mean, does God love me? God loves everyone, don't they?" That's what they think. But the fact is, God does not love everyone. He does not love everyone. There are just too many scriptures, aren't there? Your pastor, I know, has just covered so many scriptures, such as God is angry with the wicked every day. God hateth all workers of iniquity. Esau have I hated. Proverbs 16, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven. And he's talking about people. And on it goes. That's just too many scriptures that tell us that God does not love everyone. And when you tell people that, when you say that, it's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking. People are shocked when they first hear that. Some of you know Robin Pendry, Kelly and Robin Pendry. They've been here before. But Robin was in Methodist false religion, and she came to hear it, invited by Kelly, when she first heard me say from the pulpit, "God does not love everyone," you know, she, "What do you mean?" And she told me later that she said, "I'm going to go home and I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to search the scriptures. I'm going to prove him wrong." And she told me, I couldn't. I couldn't find it. John 3:16, we'll see that in a moment. But why do we say this? Do I need to say this again? Do we need to say this? Well, Martin Luther said this. Martin Luther said, "If I do not profess with the loudest voice that point which the world and the devil are attacking, I'm not confessing Christ." And there's nothing under attack more and nothing more abused than the love of God is, and the blood of Christ. The love of God, like the blood of Christ, is accounted by most people as a common thing. God loves everyone. They assume it. They take it for granted. So, don't they? That's how they treat it. The blood of Christ died for me. Common thing, trodden underfoot, the blood of the Son of God. The love of God, when it is the most wonderful and amazing and glorious an undeserved and precious thing a human being can have, is for God to love them, for Christ to die for them. And it's only amazing and only wonderful and only precious to those who know they don't deserve it. We sang that song, didn't we? How can it be? Only those, and I'm already answering my question. How can I know? Does God love me? I'm already answering that, aren't I? Only those who know they don't deserve it can sing a song like that and say, how can it be that God would love me? I just don't see how. Amazed by it. Amazing love. How can it be? God's love is likened to the love of a father, isn't it? In the scripture. The love of a father for his son, but not for a good son. Not for an obedient son. A prodigal son. The Lord told that story, didn't he, of the prodigal son. Not the good son, but the prodigal son who rebelled against the father, who didn't care for the father, and ran away from the father. And the father, in his love, waited to be gracious. And when God, you know that story, when he came back and the father went running and fell on the neck of that unworthy, rebellious, no good son that didn't deserve for his father to love him. That's the love of God, you see. God's love is likened to the love of a husband for his bride, a husband for his wife, but not a good wife. Not a faithful wife, but an unfaithful wife, like Gomer. Like the story of Hosea, whose wife Gomer, who is a picture of the church, his wife Gomer was unfaithful all the time, constantly running after other things and lovers. But Hosea was a picture of Christ and loved his bride no matter what and purchased her redemption. That's the love of God. Now, all right, let me tell you some things about the love of God from God's Word. God's love is sovereign, meaning he loves whom he will. He set his love. Deuteronomy 7, this is one of those foundational scriptures that we need to learn. Deuteronomy 7, you see, God set his love upon his people. That means he purposed to love. There was no, he had to. There's nothing in us to love. When I fell in love with Mindy, when she was a young girl, and I fell in love with her. It was something about her that I fell in love with. That's not God's love. He set his love on her. Like the child, you know, the picture of the child in the field in Ezekiel? There was nothing lovely about it, was it? Lying there in its sin, its pollution, that's a picture of everyone. And it says God came by. When I passed by, it was a time of love. I decided to love you. Look at Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 8. He says, thou art, and this is Moses speaking from God to the people, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Was Israel? Were the Israelites sinless people? They were the biggest sinners on earth, weren't they? But he calls them holy. Because God said so. Read on. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of the people. But because the Lord loved you, he just did. He just did. He just set his love upon you. And he swore concerning you. See, the love of God is sovereign. He purposed to save and to love whom he would. And his love is like his mercy. It's sovereign. His love is like his grace. It's sovereign. He gives it to whom he will. Nobody deserves mercy. That's the meaning of the word, isn't it? His love is sovereign love. Look at 1 John in our text, 1 John 4, verse 9. We're going to get to this question in a minute. Does God love me? Verse 9, it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Toward us. Not that we love God, but he loved us, he said. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. He loved his people before they were born. You know that passage in Jeremiah 31 and Jeremiah 1, verse 5. The Lord says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. People use that as a wrongly, as a anti-abortion slogan, don't you? Huh? But that's not talking about everyone. That's talking about, that verse is talking about Jeremiah. He went on to say, I loved you and ordained you a prophet. And Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, to Israel, whom he loved, Jacob have I loved. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Here in verse 9, it says the love of God toward us, doesn't it? Toward us. Look at verse 16. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Who's the us? Learn a simple grammar lesson. A personal pronoun. Us. Who's the us? It's not everyone. Look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. They therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Us and them. Us and them. See that? Who's the us? Verse 1 says, beloved. For whom he did foreknow. That means forelove. He did predestinate. Call, justify, glorify us, his chosen, his people. Verse 7, beloved. Verse 11, beloved, beloved, beloved. God wrote this letter to his church like you would write a letter to the one you love, and you'd sign it, wouldn't you? Dear, my dear beloved wife, wouldn't you? What if some woman picked that up? I wrote a letter to my wife, said, my dearly beloved wife, I love you. Everything I have is yours, and I'll love you to the end, and no matter what, and all my inheritance is for you. And some woman picked that up and said, look at there, he loves me. Oh, no, 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 that's not to you. Beloved, 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 beloved. God first loved us. God's love is sovereign. God's love is eternal. God's love is unchanging. Now, this will cast out fear. If we can find out that God loves us, if I can be sure that God loves me, it should cast out fear of being cast out. Do not we all think, well, Christ, we know Christ is coming, we think, I hope I'm one of his. Don't you? All the time. I know you do. I do sometimes. I think, well, I hope I'm one of the Lord's. I hope when he comes, I'm not left out. Well, if I can find out that God loves me, if he loves me, it's forever. It's everlasting. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Having loved his own, John 13 says, he loved him to the end. He never quits love. Perfect love is to the end. It never fails. It never quits. Real love never quits. God will never say, I don't love you anymore. Whoever he loves them to the end. People say that all the time, don't they? I don't love you anymore. That means you never did. God will never say that to his people. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. God's love is perfect. That's the next thing. It's perfect. Verse 18 says, there's no fear in love, true love. See, love believeth all things, hopeth all things. Love never faileth. Love doesn't rejoice in evil. True love. That's the love of God. God is love. Philpott brought this out. Wonderful thing. It's just not something God has. It's what he is. It's what he is. God is mercy. God is love. This is the way he is. It's not something he shows. It's who he is. And if we can find out he loves me, you have nothing to worry about. No fear. Shouldn't fear. Perfect love. If you truly love, there's no fear. Fear hath torment, doesn't it? Oh, I hope she loves me. Hope she'll stay with me. Hope he loves me. Right? Has torment. Not perfect love. I know he loves me. Have nothing to worry about. Our children, maybe they take it for granted. I'm sure they do. But I never worried about my parents kicking me out. They should have. Man, should they have ever kicked me out. But like that prodigal, even when I ran away and came back, they treated me with love. Said, cast out fear of being cast out. So, does God love me? God's love is effectual. God's love is saving love. God's love is powerful love. Whoever God loves, he saves. Wouldn't you? You love your children? You do, don't you? Would you save them if you could? Would you save them if you could? Why, there's no doubt about it. That's a foolish question, isn't it? Well, does God? What kind of love is it? My dad made these points one time. You know the points, six stubborn statements. I know you preached it. But number one, if God loves everyone, and some go to hell anyway, what does the love of God have to do with anything? Huh? If Christ died for everyone, and some go to hell anyway, what does the blood of Christ have to do with anything? Good question, isn't it? Few people are asking. But now, the love of God is saving love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore, with loving kindness, I'm going to bring you. I'm going to draw you with cords of love. You're not getting away. What kind of love would it be if your child was out in the middle of the street? And this is what people say about God. He loves them, but he doesn't want to violate their will. You know, they have a free will, and they're out in the middle of the street, and the car is coming. Oh, I hope they'll choose to get out of the way. What kind of love is that? It's not love at all. What would you do? What would you do? You'd dive out there. You'd sacrifice your life for that child, wouldn't you? You'd lay down your life. That's exactly what God did for his people. Lay down. Here in his love, verse 10, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He laid down his life. Laid down his life so that we won't die. He said, I die that you may live. That's love. Everyone whom God loves, he saves them. Everyone whom God loves, Christ died for. Their sins are gone. And he sends the Holy Spirit to round them up. And they're coming, buddy. God's love is powerful. God's love is in Jesus Christ. God's love is in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:39. The love of God is, who shall separate us? Goes on and on to say that. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall death, angels, principalities, any of these things? No. The love, because the love of God is in Christ. In Christ. All whom God loves, he gave them to his Son, whom Scripture says he shall not fail. He'll save every one of them. And that's what Christ said, didn't he? In his prayer to the Father in John 17. All you've given me, I've kept. Not one of them is lost. Not one of them. And he sent him to be made sin for them. Behold, what manner of love. God's love was to Noah, wasn't it? How do you know God loved Noah? Put him in the ark. He put him in the ark. He said, come thou, Noah, into the ark. And God put him in the ark. And what does it say? God shut him in. The love of God was in that ark, wasn't it? Not outside. The wrath of God. The love of God was in that ark. How do you know God loved Israel and not Egypt? How do you know God loved Israel and not Egypt? Israel was under the blood. Everyone in Israel was in the house under the blood. That's how you know. God's love is in Jesus Christ. And we have known, it said. Now, all right, here's the question. Does God love me, though? I know he loves Israel. Even David said this. I know God is to them good to them that are of upright heart, but as for me, I don't know about me. Does he love me? Here's several evidences, I believe. I know the Scriptures teach us that we may know the love of God. Our names are not there, but the character described. Brother Scott used to say that. Brother Scott Richardson, he said, you can't claim the promise in Scripture unless you fit the character described in the promise. You can't claim the promise unless you fit the character described in the promise. All right? Romans 8, 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. All right, here it says we love him. John said we love him. The Lord asked Peter, Simon, do you love us, thou me? He said, yea, Lord. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. But we do love him. I mean the God of the Bible. The true God. Start telling people about the God of the Bible. See if they love him. When Paul wrote Romans, he said they're haters of God. They don't love God. They hate God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God in foolishness to it. The natural man hates the God of the Bible. God who reigns and rules over all. The God who alone has free will. Who does as he will, with whom he will, just because he will. The God who chooses whom he will. God who loves whom he will. Who shows mercy to whom he will he hardeneth. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of the Bible. All people don't love that God. God's people do. Every one of them love him. Brother Norman Wells just preached for us Wednesday night. Brother Norm, you know Brother Norm, you wouldn't forget him if you met him, 6'5", towering fella. But he said, my dad came out there to preach in Oregon for them 30 years ago. And he said he preached this message. Same message we preach all the time. Sovereign God on a throne. Sovereign mercy, sovereign grace. And he preached that message. God loves his people. Chose a people. And Norm said, after it was over, I hated that man. He said, I hated him. Now, you know what? Now, he loves him. He can't mention my father's name without big old tears in his eyes. What made the difference? God loved Norman. God taught Norman. God showed Norman. You're not worth loving, Norman. But I've loved you. I chose you. I set my love on you. I love whom I will. And Norm realized, I didn't deserve to be loved. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving me. And now he loves that God. He loves that God. Loved the God he once hated. See? If you love God, he loves you. A holy and just and sovereign God. The one that reigns. Everyone does it. God loves you if you love his name. If you fear his name. This is what sets apart the people of God from the people of the world. They don't fear. There's no fear of God before their eyes. The name of God is blasphemed by everyone. The name of God is on the lips, on the tongues of most everyone, including young people today, isn't it? How does it make you feel when you hear them speaking God's name in that way? Doesn't you cringe? Don't you cringe when you hear it? Have you ever been reading a book, some kind of book, and the person start taking God's name in vain? I don't want to keep reading that. Why? You love his name. You reverence his name. You respect his name, don't you? What if somebody was throwing around Dwight Moody's name all the time? Just throwing around Dwight this and Dwight that. Make you mad, wouldn't it? You respect your father too much. You love him too much. He's too dear to you, isn't he? You honor him. Honor him. You fear him. Those that love God, God loves, they love him. They fear his name. They love his name. His name is who he is. You don't drag it in the mud. You don't bring it down. If God loves you, you love God's truth. You love God's word. You love his word. Do you love everything you've heard thus far? That's the truth. I've told you the truth, haven't I? So help me. God's people love the truth. God has given them a love for the truth. Everyone doesn't have a love for the truth. But all whom God loves, he gives them a love for the truth. They love the truth. They love the word of God. Most people hate it, turn away their ears from the truth. But God's people turn their ears to it. He that is of God heareth God's word. No matter what it says. No matter if it condemns us. You know, it's a blessed thing, it's a good thing if you're convicted by the Word of God, if you feel guilt, if the Word of God convicts you, that means you're led of the Spirit of God. That means the Spirit of God dwells in you, Holy Spirit, convicting you of sin and righteousness and judgment as it is in Christ. That's the love of God. That's the Spirit of God given to you by God who loves you and keeps convicting you of your sin and making you cry unto Christ and trust Christ. That's the love of God. Be convinced of sin. Love God. You know, the woman, the Canaanite woman, when she came to the Lord and he didn't answer her, remember? Did she get mad? No. She knew she didn't deserve for him to answer her. And then he said, I'm not come but to the lost sheep of Israel. I have an elect people. And I've just come for the elect. Did she get mad? No. And then he said, it's not fit to give the children bread to dogs. He called her a dog. Well, she's going to leave now, isn't she? No. What'd she say? Truth, Lord. It's all true. Everything you say is the truth. Whatever you say about me is the truth. Even the Word of God that calls you a dog. Even the Word of God that calls you a worm. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. God's people love. That's true. It's true. If God loves you, you love God's Son. You love God's Son. Turn with me to John 17. John 17. See, the love of the salvation of God, this love put in the heart of God's people, shed abroad in the heart of God's people, it's like a marriage, isn't it? They're all the bride of Christ, and they all love him. Heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and everyone there loves Jesus Christ. Gabe and I love the same woman, and she is a woman now. 30. We love the same woman, don't we? We're united in our love to her. Her and all of God's people, they love the same husband. The same person. That's what we're here tonight for and this morning. That's why we're here, isn't it? To worship the Son. The marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord gave the parable of a king, a certain king, who made a marriage supper for his son. To the honor of his son. It's all about the son. John 17, look at verse 24. Our Lord is praying to the Father and says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. If you love Christ, you love his glory, don't you? And if you love his glory, you can't stand anyone to take it away from you. You can't stand for anybody to diminish his glory, take anything away from what he's done. You can't stand that. Read on. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, verse 25, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, what is this love of God? Who does God love supremely? Jesus Christ. He said it out loud twice, didn't it, from heaven. This is my beloved Son, my only begotten, well-beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. The Father loves the Son, John preached, and hath given all things in his hand. God loves the Son. And everyone whom God loves, our Lord said, he puts this same love in them. They love the Son too. They love the Son too. We have the same offspring, don't we? We love them. We all love them with the same love. Same love. We're down here to celebrate Sophie and Hannah's birthday, and because we love them, it's all about them. And God's people meet together because they love the Son. It's all about him. If God loves you, you love the Son. If God loves you, you love God's salvation. Scripture says, let such as love thy salvation say continually, all the time, the Lord be magnified. Salvation's of the Lord. The Lord be magnified. Such as love thy salvation. We love God's salvation. We love sovereign love. We love that God's love is sovereign because we know if he hadn't chosen to love us, there's nothing in us that he'd ever find worth loving. Like election, don't we? I know he's quoted this. We got all the same illustration from the same man. Stole them. Spurgeon said, I know that God chose me before the foundation of the world. I know he had to. Because if he'd have waited till after I was born, he never would have chosen me then. That's the love of God, isn't it? We know that. God's love is sovereign. We love that. We love his sovereign mercy. We love his righteousness. We love the righteousness of Christ imputed. We know we don't have any. Ours is filthy rags, don't we? We love that our righteousness is of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love that. We're so thankful that our salvation is completely dependent upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We love that. Everyone doesn't love that. But those that God loves do. We love God's glory. Man can't stand and preach God high enough for those that love him. A man can't stand and preach too much Christ for those that love him, can he? Brother Scott Richardson, I find myself listening to him quite a bit these days. Love that man. But a woman once came to him and actually said this. In derision. She said it in derision. She's been critical of him. And she quit shortly afterward. She said, I got it written down right here in the Bible. She said, all you preach is Christ, Christ, Christ. That's all you preach every time. Christ, Christ. And old Brother Scott said, would you write that on my tombstone? Why does he preach Christ? He loves Christ. Why do you want to hear Christ? You love Christ. Your salvation's in Christ. John, every time he said, the friend of the bridegroom loveth the voice of the bridegroom. And John, every time they came to him, he would say one thing, behold the Lamb of God. Next day, behold the Lamb of God. What's he going to preach today? Behold the Lamb of God. He loved Christ, loved his salvation, loved to hear about him. If God loves you, God's holy. If you love God, you hate sin. You hate sin. You got to. It's the opposite of what God is. And that means you hate yourself. If God loves you, you hate yourself. No one that loves himself can love God. Mm-mm. Everyone that meets God hates himself. God gives a new heart to hate sin. And it's a heart that hates self. It's a broken heart over its own sin. In Ezekiel 36, when the Lord said he would do all these things to Israel, he said, I will cleanse them, I'll gather them. He said, I'll give you a new heart. And what it goes on to say, and you will loathe yourselves. You're going to hate yourselves for the rest of your lives. You're going to hate yourself for the sin that caused Christ to be put on that cross for you. And the sin that's in you. Like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Like David said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And you love Christ so much, you want to be just like Christ. And you want to be done with this old man that's nothing like him. That's the love of God. See, God's, your name's not written there, but the character is. The evidences are. If God loves you, you hate sin and you hate yourself. If God loves you, look at 1 John, over in 1 John 3, verse 14. 1 John 3:14. If God loves you, you love the brethren. You love the brethren. Verse 14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Do you know how much it talks about this? The whole book of 1 John is about this. Christ's last commandment. He said this, before he was leaving, he said, this commandment I give unto you. He that you love one another as I've loved you. And this is another evidence. God's people love each other. They love the brethren. Look at 1 John 4, look at verse 13. I'm going to quit. 1 John 4, 13. It says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us," that is, God and God's Spirit and the love of God, "because he hath given us of his Spirit." His Spirit is in us. What are the fruit of the Spirit? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22. Love. You love God first. You love God. "And he that loveth him that begat, loveth him that's begotten." That means Christ, and that means Christ's people. Those that are born of God, you love them. Now, this love of God for brethren is supernatural. It's of God. If God loves you, you actually love the brethren in Christ as you do, as you would your flesh and blood. That's right. That's right. That's not natural. I have a brother. I have one brother, one sibling left out of four. And I love him. I do love him. I do. I don't love him like I should. I do love him. He's my brother. He's my blood. You love your kin, don't you? We do. That's just natural, isn't it? But you know, I would rather be with you than him. If you give me a choice, I'd rather be with Tony back there any day. Now, that's not natural. That's just not natural. That's God-given. God loves you. You love God's people like you love your flesh and blood. There you do. And the reason being is because in glory in heaven, there are no relationships except in Christ. No male, no female, no marrying, no giving to marry, no husbands, no wives, no fathers, no mothers. We're all the bride of Christ. And no relationships. And that starts here. God creates that love now for the brethren. That's what Peter said. He said, love as brethren. We can get mad at each other. Oh, man. My second brother was mean to me. And, you know, I didn't do anything to deserve it. I did. But he was so mean to me. And we had knockdown, drag-out fights. We really did. But to this day, I cannot remember what one of those was about. If you had asked me, I'm not holding a grudge. I don't remember. I don't remember. That's the love of brethren. And he said, you love one another as Christ loved you. And they do. They do. And if a brother, if so-called a brother can hold a grudge and keep that grudge and not forget it and forgive, that's a dangerous sign. Dangerous sign. If God loves you, you love the brethren. If God loves you, and let me quit with this, he calls you by the gospel. He'll call you. Called whom he foreknew, he calls by the gospel. And he doesn't just call you once, he keeps calling you. And keeps calling you by the gospel. And keeps calling you. And he'll never let you leave. And he keeps calling you back. And you keep coming back. No matter how many times you run away, he calls you. And you keep coming back. We have a dog named Charlie. And if we didn't love him, I'd have shot him a long time ago. Gabe would have shot him last week when we were out of town. Why? He's prone to wander, isn't he? You can't take your eyes off of him. He'll run, won't he? Who was with you that day? Jared. You know Charlie, don't you? Men admit it. Is Charlie good for anything? Come on, be honest. He's good for nothing. Why are we loving? We decided to. We chose him out of the litter. There were many. We chose him. We set our love on him. We paid too much money for him. Way too much. We've paid anything, it'd been too much. But we set our love on him. And we love him. He's not worth loving. He's always running off. But you know what we do? We go after him. And we call him. Just the other day, I was headed somewhere in the morning, and he ran off. And I said, I'm not going after him. I'm not going to get him again. I'm not. But I did. I did. I love him. Worthless as he is, I love him. If this gospel keeps calling you, if you keep coming back, if you can't stay away, God loves you. And I will say a few things about how he chastens those he loves. He chastens them. You chasten your children, don't you? You reprove them, you rebuke them, you correct them. You put the rod on them, don't you? If you don't love your children. And that's the same with the Lord. You don't chasten other people's children, do you? As much as you'd like to. But you don't, do you? You chasten your own children. And that's who God loves, whom he chastens. Does God love me? Do you love God? God of the Bible? You love his Son? You love his Word? Love his truth? You love the brethren? You hate yourself? You hate sin? They keep calling you? God loves you. May the Lord bless his Word to you.